This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one.
How do you address those skeptics?
Well, the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, pal.
Sorry.
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind. So we'll hear about that.
Okay. Dana is off tonight. He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know.
Hey all, I'm back again. I'm not gonna beat myself up about how long it's been since the last episode came out or not. I never agreed to saying that this was going to be a monthly show, or I never officially said it was going to be a monthly show. I just held myself to that standard. I'm pretty bad about doing that. Standards that are higher than imaginable. Higher than I would hold anybody else to or expect from anybody else. I had a really interesting week or so, just in that regard when it comes to being friends. Well, I'll just say it. I had Adrian. You may know him from my other podcast. I missed his wedding, and I feel really bad. I had another friend come out here to come and hang out because he's on a vacation because he broke up with his girlfriend. So it's really interesting. It's kind of the two different sides of things and trying to be supportive and be there for everybody in different kinds of emotional situations. And everything could just be different. But the concept of being a good friend in some ways applies to this episode because it was a couple of guests where I was selfishly putting it together because it's two people who I wish I was better friends with or closer to. For this week's episode, we're going to talk about Nova Pro, great company that runs really interesting matchups of people from almost two different scenes. And to talk about it, I figured I might as well get Dylan Hale, I adore and respect and really look up to, and the Lady J, someone who I also adore, respect, and look up to. So I figured, hey, why not kind of create a podcast dream team for myself here? I hope you enjoy it, listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it, and be awesome to each other. It's a weird send-off, but I think I'm starting to like it. Let me know if you like it too. My guests this evening are Dylan Hales from Powerbomb TV, from the, I guess, the SCI Consortium, and from a, I guess, a recurring guest, possible, I guess, official contributor to the PWB Weekly Newscast. Dylan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, and I think that was a very diplomatic and accurate way of laying out my various plugs, so I appreciate you doing that well.
Yes, I try not to rattle the cages like I have before on some podcasts where I may have broken some news that I shouldn't have. Unfortunately, it's hard for me to remember what things are public and what aren't. My other guest was I wouldn't say last minute add-on, or it was kind of like I exhausted my resources of people who I interact with regularly, but was like a total upgrade from the people that I actually know. So if you're someone that I know, what I'm saying is this person is better than you. I have the Lady J from the Facelock Feministas, from the Lady J Says blogs, also writes for Paste magazine, and I think I'm missing something, of course, but Lady, how are you doing? Or Jay, I guess, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. For a second there, I thought you were burying me, but then I realized you're just burying everyone else you know, so that's fine.
Yeah, I tend to do that, and you know, it has paid off very well for me up until this point. so you guys are both, and see, that was another, I'll even just say it, a slight hesitation for me, because I had been told that you had actually done commentary on a Nova Pro show.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And no, and the reason why I was kind of like, is that I don't necessarily want this show to be the people who you would necessarily directly equate with the companies as, I don't know how to say, behind the scenes. But I kind of thought of it, and I just thought, you know, I don't think you really are. So I guess full disclosure, do you have further involvement than that, or you just happen to do commentary on a show or two?
So I actually do their pre-show podcast.
Okay.
So from the if you go to the Nova Pro YouTube channel, at around like 6:30, 7 o'clock before any of their shows, you'll see my shining eyebrows manicured face talking to you about the card. But that is pretty much the extent. Other than that, I am a fan. Like, I don't know anything about booking or anything like that. I just go, I talk about the card as it's announced, and then I spend the next 2 hours getting worked. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay. And I mean, I think the last technically the last episode of this that I did kind of mention some backstage booking ish stuff slightly, but it's not necessarily something that I like to get into too much here, but I just want to make sure that people don't think that I'm just having like shills for certain promotions on here, which is tough with Dylan on, because I think he's considered a shill for almost any promotion at this point. So Dylan, what was your first exposure to Nova Pro, and kind of, I guess, what drew you in? Because you are an ardent supporter of the company.
So yeah, so Nova's kind of an interesting thing for me, because I actually first discovered of the existence of Nova Pro when I was at WrestleMania weekend last year in the lobby of the Hyatt Regency talking to my buddy Stutzy and being introduced to The Boy for the first time, who of course is the promoter of Nova Pro. And I was aware that there was a show that had run in Northern Virginia at some point, because as you know, Timothy, I'm about as obsessive as it gets with trying to keep my finger on the pulse of what's actually going on in independent wrestling, especially in the United States. And so I was aware that such a show existed, but I really didn't know anything about it. And without getting into too much of the meat and the backstory, which sort of defeats the purpose of this podcast, they ran one show, I think, in 2015, I believe in September, and they didn't run again until 2016, which has lots to do with licensing and the weird laws that exist with the Virginia State Athletic Commission. So I actually was watching the shows regularly via the Smart Bar video produced content that they do every year. But I did not actually get into a show until the Black Friday show at the tail end of 2016. That was the first show. It was also their last show of 2016. That was the first Nova Pro event that I actually attended live, but I'd actually been following the company regularly, basically since I ended up chatting with the promoter in the lobby of the Hyatt Regency Hotel, I think it was Friday night before WrestleMania last year. So I'd been following the promotion. I was aware of it. There's things that the promotion specifically did and continues to do that I thought were interesting, and I've been trying to find a way to get to an event. Oddly enough, I did not actually get into a Nova Pro event until I had moved all the way across the country and then flew all the way across the country to get to the show. That was my first live experience, which of course fits the theme of this show. But I will say that I had a pretty, I'd seen every single Nova Pro event up to that point by the time I went to the show. So what they did that was unique and what they did that drew me in, it wasn't just like, oh, well, I met a promoter who I thought was a nice guy and talked to him about wrestling and decided that I was going to like his show. It was actually more the overall presentation of Nova Pro itself, which I think is a sort of a blend between a kind of traditional mid-Atlantic wrestling card, either from the Crockett era or from the era of independent wrestling that I grew up in as a child, combined with I hate the term super indie, but I don't know what else to call it, the sort of bigger names, guys that are sort of known for having great matches. And on top of that, it's become what I think really makes it distinct, and I think this really shines through, especially when you're there live, is it's a place where the stars of the Mid-Atlantic and then people who come down from the Northeast sort of meet in the middle, and they put on matches and things and shows and storylines that you really can't see anywhere else. It's a promotion that I think is very unique in that regard, and in an era where a lot of independent promotions kind of just regurgitate the same sort of dream matches over and over and over again. What Nova Pro does, I think, makes them really distinct from a lot of other companies.
And, okay, so Lady J, with kind of your more, I guess, involved fandom, doing the pre-show podcasts, was that from the start, or is that something that was more recently adopted?
We started doing the pre-show podcast at the July show, which was one crazy summer. That was the very first time we ever did one of the pre-show podcasts.
Okay. And that was, I would assume, not the first show that you were at live.
No. So I actually, I'm originally from New York, and I moved down to the Virginia, Northern Virginia area in August of 2015. And I was working at a local record store, and a coworker of mine and I discovered our mutual love of wrestling. And he said, oh, you know, I'm going to go to this thing in Springfield in January. Do you want to come? And I was like, you know what? Sometimes the environment at indie wrestling shows can be not super great for women. So I'm going to make you go, and then you can report back and tell me what it was like. So he went, and he was like, oh my God, it was so good. I had such a fun time. And so I decided, you know, their next show was going to be in March, and I went to that one, and I haven't missed a show since March of last year.
Okay. And that's actually an interesting point that you made, and maybe something that, unfortunately, I've kind of glossed over in making this show. Because the point, I mean, the part of the point of this show is glorifying live experiences at wrestling shows, but most of my guests kind of will have been predominantly male. I've had one female guest before, and it didn't really come up, especially I think because she has a really good network of male wrestling fans that would go to the shows with her, including her boyfriend, which is another thing about our society that kind of sucks, where a woman feels more protected if she's with a man who's like a significant other than she does with just any man, especially like a coworker, something along those lines. So realistically, have you found that Nova is, because I know it's important to use like kind of safe or I guess friendly and inclusive spaces at wrestling shows for women, do you find that Nova Pro is that?
Yes, I do. I think excuse me, I think any wrestling environment has the potential to become a not inclusive environment because there are X number of people in the audience and some of them may have been drinking or whatever. I mean, I don't think they serve alcohol at any of the Nova Pro shows, but I know the venue that they were running out of for the last two shows is near a lot of bars. So we did like get some rowdy people in the audience because they were drinking like before the show or during intermission or whatever. But nothing's happened at any of the shows that I thought to myself, like, my God, I'm never coming back here and subjecting myself to this again. So
okay,
I would take other female fans to Nova Pro shows for sure.
Yeah, and they seem to have a decent mix of having some women's wrestling. I haven't seen a lot of like intergender, and that's a whole nother ball of wax that we don't necessarily need to parse out here. But do you find that they do use the women on the shows properly? Has there been anything that you find questionable or problematic at all in that regard of the booking of the women?
No, I don't think so. I think, I mean, there's always going to be stuff that you don't like, you know, because not everything in wrestling is for you. And I don't have any problem saying that, like, there's stuff that's just not to my taste, but there isn't anything that I was horribly offended by. Like, I would prefer to see less women's valets, but I think if you're valeting as an opportunity to get involved with a promotion before they're willing to book you because maybe you're inexperienced, that's fine. But yeah, they've brought a lot of interesting women, diverse in terms of styles and experience levels. So we've had some very interesting women's matches. And as to my understanding, the only time they've ever not had a women's match on their show is because of like something totally that they had no control over, like someone got sick or injured or something like that. So I know they make a concerted effort to book women's matches and to make their female fans feel welcome.
Okay. I guess Dylan, I mean, I don't know if you have any way to chime in or if you would like to about that side of it as well.
I actually think Nova is a show that is pretty inclusive in general when it comes to the fan base. I mean, with a lot of independent wrestling shows, if you go to a show, it's like, especially coming out of the Southern indie culture that I come out of, down here, most shows are, they're, quote, family-friendly events, end quote. And there's a big emphasis on kids. There's a big emphasis on, moms and dads together at the show with their children and things like that, which is wonderful. Whereas if you go to, say, an Evolve show, and this is not ripping Evolve, but it's just the nature of the beast, you don't see nearly as much of that, to put it very, very mildly. It tends to be mostly young guys. Our youngish guys and my dad. That tends to be the overwhelming majority of most shows like that. The attendees fit in there. Maybe a little bit less so over time, but I still think it's heavily slanted in that direction. What I think is interesting about Nova is I think it is one of the promotions that I think presents the highest quality level of show while also having the most, for lack of a better term, integrated audience. Like, it's not unusual at Nova to see a bunch of hardcore, quote, smart wrestling fans or whatever, and see people that are kind of casual fans, and see maybe a mom and dad and their two kids. And like, it's probably still a little bit more slanted toward the young male audience, as wrestling may just generally be as a rule, I don't know. But if you sort of look at the broad landscape of shows that have truly quality wrestling shows, I would say that Nova would be on the upper level when it comes to diversity in the audience, in terms of the type of people and the sort of range, whether it be age or gender or whatever, that you would see in the crowd. I mean, that's just my experience. I freely admit that I've only been to two Nova shows live, but I've been to two Nova shows live in two different venues. And I think that if you were to watch the shows, I think you would probably notice that as well.
Okay. Lady J, did you see any Nova before you went live?
No.
Okay. So, sight unseen, when you first walked into the building for the first time, kind of, I don't know, what was your feeling of the building? Did it feel dingy, low rent, small? What did you kind of get from the building the first time you walked in? Or did it, because on tape, I think it looks great.
So Nova Pro has run out of three buildings to date.
Okay.
The very first building that they ran out of in March of, well, no, it's technically they ran out of four buildings, but the first one they've never gone back to. The second building that they ever ran out of, which is the first one that I went to, was the one in Springfield, which is basically like a recreation center. And it's not, I don't want to say it's not dirty or anything like that. I didn't walk in and think to myself like, oh God, what have I gotten myself into? But it's not like, it hasn't been updated probably since I was a kid. And so, it has like a pretty horrendously ugly carpet and stuff like that, but it feels like the kind of space where you would see wrestling, I guess, is the best way to describe it. So going in there, I thought to myself like, well, this isn't the kind of place where they have to worry about, scuffing the floors or breaking anything. Like, this is the kind of place where I'm going to see the sort of wrestling that I like. So I felt good about being there. And then the second venue that they ever ran out of, well, the third venue, the second one that I ever went to was the local JCC, which has the cleanest ladies' room I've ever seen in my 30 years on this planet. Holy cow. It was incredible going in there, because normally at a wrestling show, they don't even think about the women and what the women's room might look like. But I was pretty happy about that. But yeah, the JCC is great. It's huge. It's really brightly lit. It's just a really comfortable space to be in. And now they're running out of a volunteer fire department's like rentable space, which is also like, each venue that they've run out of has a slightly different feel to it, but none of them feel like unwelcoming, I guess.
Okay, yeah, I think, I'm trying to think, because I definitely seen shows out of the Jewish Community Center, and the most recent one that I saw was in the volunteer fire department, and I think those are the ones I'm talking about when I said it looked good. I may have never seen any of the shows that they ran in Springfield in the dingier building.
Those are great shows. You should seek them out.
Yeah, so I should go out of my way to check those ones out. I guess somehow I've skipped them. That's always an interesting thing with wrestling shows that you watch on tape, too, that, like, sometimes I know I've noticed, like, I'll miss a building that they run regularly, and I have, like, no concept of that. But, Dylan, having been someone who watched it on tape beforehand, what was the experience like walking into the building the first time having seen it? Was it different than you expected, or do you think that they captured the room pretty well on tape?
I think they actually capture the room pretty well. I will say that I've been to shows at the JCC and at the Annandale Volunteer Fire Department, and both of them I think are great venues, but I think they're different venues. The JCC feels, even though there's not like elevated bleacher seating, it feels like a big gym because it is a big gym. it's like there's no way to disguise it. And I think what I would say is, when you're in the building, you recognize that you're in what I would consider to be a pretty state-of-the-art facility for its size. It's, I mean, obviously it's not, you know, Jerry World or something, but relative to its size, you're probably not going to find many independent wrestling venues that are more impressive visually and in terms of even the way the ring is laid out and the way that they set out the chairs and stuff. I don't think you're going to find too many places that are purely at an independent level that are more visually impressive. And the lighting in the room is really good, which is really important to me, and especially important to my father because his vision's so bad. So like that's always something that I always notice is, okay, if I'm sitting here with my dad, is he going to be able to have a decent line of shot even from the front row, or is the lighting or you know, the angle going to be such that it's not going to be ideal for him? And the JCC I think is really great. I think Annandale is interesting because it's a more compact room, but because of that, when you're in there and the crowd is large, as it was for the show I went to, it really feels like a packed room. Like, not to the point of being uncomfortable, not to the point where there's people on top of you and you're annoyed, but to the point where you're looking around and you're kind of marveling and going, okay, this show is a big deal. Because it's almost to the point where it's standing room only, or at least it was at the show I attended. And I think they're good, but in different ways. And I think the video probably captures the experience slightly better at the JCC. But it's really splitting hairs. I think in both instances, it's a pretty accurate reflection of what you would get if you were sitting there live. It's just they're two, I would argue, pretty different venues while both being good venues.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think that maybe the Annandale, because the way that you talk about just how expansive and big it comes across, I don't know if it comes across as well on tape as it sounds like it is there in person. Not to say that it comes across small, but I think maybe they're not capturing it as well.
Well, Annandale is the more intimate of the two. I mean, JCC venue is the bigger of the two. The Annandale venue is small is not the right word because, I mean, if you go to enough indie wrestling, you know what a small venue is. But it's not. It is not. It's definitely a tighter space.
It's laid out very differently than the JCC in Fairfax. The JCC in Fairfax is basically like a gigantic, open, very high ceiling box, right? And then the space that you have at the Annandale Volunteer Fire Department, which is a phrase I'm learning to say better, is sort of like long and narrow almost. So the space between where the entrances are and then where the hard cam is closer together, as opposed to where the front door that you would come into and then where the concession stand is deeper. So it means everything is laid out slightly differently. Yeah, slightly differently than it is at the JCC. So of course it would look different, and also the ceilings are a little lower, so it just gives everything a more intimate feel just because of the nature of the structure of the building.
Okay, so I may have just misunderstood what you were saying. in general. But you mentioned concessions there, and that's always an important question for me. What is the concessions and merchandise situation at the Nova Pro shows? I guess either of you, I'm not sure.
I would say that I kind of like the concession setup at Annandale just because of the way where it is in the building. Like, you can still keep an eye on the action at all times. I don't even remember where the concession setup was in Fairfax, which shame on me for not remembering that. I think as a general rule of thumb, and this is just my opinion, as a general rule of thumb, I think when it comes to merchandise and tabling for talent or for promoters that are there hawking their wares or whatever, I always feel like the smaller venue is actually a better venue. And I've had arguments with promoters about this, but that's my personal view. I think if it's a tighter space, as a rule, it is easier for people to, yes, it may be tighter, but it's easier for people to be in front of the table and to make that sort of impulse decision of, oh, well, I like wrestler X, I'm going to buy this, or I'm going to look at this merch. Whereas if you're in a bigger gym-like setting, I think it's easier for people to stay away from that corner and resist temptation. So I personally, from a merchandise perspective, I prefer Annandale, but that's, again, that's kind of splitting hairs. There's plenty of room to sell merch in Fairfax. I mean, there's plenty of room in that gym. That's not an issue.
Okay. So I guess, Lady J, where do you come down on, let's say, that concept, which I think I completely agree with Dylan on that, and then also, do you find yourself, like, I guess, buying merchandise from the wrestlers at either building more frequently or even at all?
Well, so I have to agree with Dylan that I think the merchandising and concession setup is much better at the Annandale the fire department than it is at the Fairfax JCC. And that, there's a really good reason for that, though. And I think one of the things, besides size, that will definitely contribute is the flow of traffic, foot traffic through a space. In the case of the JCC, the fans enter and exit through one door, right? Let's just say if you were looking down at the space from above, it's the southwest door, and then which is like literally in the southwest corner of the square room. And then all of the merchandise from the wrestlers is set up across the northernmost edge of the space. So you have to go all the way over there to interact with the wrestlers after the show or during intermission. But in terms of like entering, sitting in your seat, which is somewhere in the middle of the room, you have to figure, and then exiting and using the same door if you're going to go outside for people who smoke or if you're going to use the bathroom, you still going in and out of that southwest door. So you have to make a concerted effort and a conscious decision to go over to those tables. Now, at the Annandale, at the Fairfax JCC, the food, which the people who run the shows, they provide most of that stuff. That is all done at the place where you would also buy your tickets, which is right by that door. So it's easier to actually get food than it is to get merch at those shows. That being said, at the Annandale space, the concession is all the way on the opposite side from where the entrance door is. But it, like Dylan said, it's still a good space to be able to watch the show from because you're actually far enough away that the people sitting in the chairs wouldn't impede your vision. You could see everything pretty good. But the tables where the wrestlers set up their merch are on either side of the door. So they sort of create like a V shape with the door. So you're pretty much going to have to walk by those tables to get in and out of the building. So I think that that's a much better use of the space in terms of like basically ushering all the fans past those tables when they come in and then again when they leave so that they're more inclined to make those decisions to buy things from the wrestlers.
Okay, yeah, that I mean, obviously that makes perfect sense. And I like hearing kind of the layout of the topography. And I did enjoy your bird's eye depiction of the building. When you started saying southwest, I'm like, oh, God, do I need a compass? I'm so bad at direction. Then I'm like, wait, I'm not actually at the building, so this isn't going to matter. So you mentioned food, and that is a rarity I find at Indies here in California. Like, we have maybe hot dogs and sodas. That's it. There's never a lot of food. Do they have food at both venues, and is it decent? I don't expect it to be good, but is it, like, acceptable meal food? I don't know. I'm not sure who to direct it to. Dylan, okay. I guess.
So here's the thing. As a rule of thumb, it is very rare for me to ever get any kind of food at a wrestling show because I'm vegetarian and have been for 21 years. And I frankly don't trust that any item I'm going to buy from a casual concession at any venue is going to actually be vegetarian friendly. Right. Unless it's something that's like a sealed cookie or something, which some places do. There are exceptions to this. Eventually, I'm going to force you to do a show on Glory Pro, and we'll talk about the amazing setup they have there and out in Illinois. But as a general rule of thumb, I this is not really a question that I can answer. What I will answer a little bit is that Nova Pro is unique in that they have – I don't even know how to accurately present this – Jay, what would be a good way to describe the Snack Society?
So
you handle that because that is unique and it is food related and it is very pertinent to this promotion.
So there is a marriage between performer and fan that is I'm not going to use the term very unique, but is unique, especially unique for Nova Pro. In that they have performers who have gimmicks that involve food, and then they have this group that are fans that, totally unrelated to Nova Pro, had started a YouTube channel in which they review snack food. So we're talking like the different weird flavors that they have of Oreo filling, or, you know, different sandwiches that come out for like fast food joints in the area. And sometimes they've even gotten, I don't remember what, oh God, I'm so bad at this, but they actually have they were in a commercial for a local like fast food joint. So sometimes they bring stuff with them, and then they'll have wrestlers or special guests, people, you know, other fans or wrestlers who are coming from out of town to review snacks with them. So there's definitely always food because of the Snack Society. But because of the situation of their relationship with Nova Pro, sometimes the different chain restaurants and stuff that they're affiliated with will donate stuff. And so there's always some sort of crazy snack or fast food that's there because of the Snack Society. But aside from that, also, the people who run Nova Pro, they also, like, there's always like giant crock pots everywhere. There's just tons and tons of food at all of the shows. I think the Annandale Firehouse has their own concession stand, and they do like chili cheese fries and hot dogs and stuff like that. But I think that's standard to the building and not necessarily something that the Nova Pro people are providing. It's just a service that comes with renting the space. But at the JCC, there's always stuff that, you know, they've cooked and brought from home, which I'm actually more inclined to eat than like regular concession food, because I feel like somebody put some time and effort into like making these meatballs, so I think I'm gonna eat one of them. And the pulled pork is always very good, in case you ever come to the show at the JCC.
Like, I may make an exception and eat pulled pork from there because it sounds delicious. That is crazy. Here in Southern California, every wrestling show that I go to is essentially just in a bar. So your options for food and drink are just alcohol and our YouTuber, you know, extraordinaire in the Southern California scene is the hot tub guy. So can we get, I want to get the Snack Squad, or was the Snack Society, a little bit more credit for being a wrestling-themed YouTube channel in some way. So I'm going to look that up and probably like put the link somewhere in the description of this, because that sounds fantastic. Let me see here. I mean, I'm trying to think everything through, what else I want to talk about the building and stuff. I guess, you know what I want to talk about is like ticketing and stuff. So Jay, I don't know. I would assume you still, because you said you're mostly fan, do you still have to deal with getting tickets, waiting in line, anything like that? Or does your kind of VIP status put you above all that?
There he goes, trying to bury me again.
That was like a positive. I snuck it in. It's a, what do they call it? A reverse, I guess, dig or something. I don't even know.
A backhanded
compliment.
Yeah, he knows better to even ask that to me, because my dad will just walk up to the venue door an hour before the show starts, claim he has an interview, and gain access.
But yeah,
I'd much rather this be a podcast where we bury Papa Hales than me. Thank you very much.
Well, okay. So have either of you had to deal with purchasing a ticket, waiting in line, or have you at least seen what that experience is like there?
Well, I purchased. I don't, as a general rule of thumb, and this is not me bragging about myself, but it's just true. I have never taken a comp to an independent wrestling show ever. So if I'm at an independent wrestling show, I purchased a ticket. If I'm physically sitting in a seat, I mean, you know, there may be shows where I'm actually doing something and that's different. But if I'm physically sitting in a seat as a fan, even if I was doing something before the show that was pertinent to the business of that brand, I am going to pay for my seat. And me and my father, when we've gone to Nova shows, we've always purchased tickets. It's never been an issue. Papa Hales always gets a little bit of the VIP treatment, but you know, you still wait in line. I think it's very orderly. I actually think both for the Annandale show, we got there early because we rode to the show with some of the talent. For the so I can't quite speak to that, although it seemed very, very orderly to me, and not difficult at all, because I think the layout was pretty conducive. There's a relatively open air lobby space where people stand, and the line seemed to be moving pretty quickly. The JCC, I think, is kind of the same thing. The lobby there is, I guess, theoretically a little tighter, maybe, like because of how it's designed, but it doesn't feel like you're about to be trampled to death. You can fit a fair number of people in the lobby of both places. So if it was cold or excessively hot out or whatever, you wouldn't necessarily have an outrageously long line out the door, especially if things are running on time. I think the space to get people in and out is pretty good. So I would say, as a rule, both of those buildings, at least, and I can't speak to the Springfield building because I've never been there, but I think both of those buildings are actually not just good places to see wrestling shows, although I think both of them are, but also pretty good places to host them from the perspective of something like ticketing or getting people in and out of the building in a safe and orderly fashion.
Okay, and just to be clear, my question wasn't necessarily about comps. I think my experience with live wrestling is a little tainted at this point, dealing with PWG so much, and that even if I wanted to, half the time I can't actually buy a ticket. I have to just get it secondhand from a friend who happens to have an extra, because it's so impossible to buy them online. So I was just wondering if it's an online process or if it's a show up at the door, they're just available. And I'm assuming that's kind of what it is. Correct.
I will say this. I happen to know that Annandale show did excellent business in the pre-sale. I know that for a fact. And, but even still, you could show up and get tickets at the door. Now, this is my perspective. I don't know the absolute numbers. I haven't gotten this confirmed. And I think Jay will back me on this. For that Annandale show, there may not have been any real empty seats. There might have been like a handful of empty seats in the entire building. I mean, it was packed for that first Annandale show. But it wasn't so packed where if an emergency came up, could they have added an extra row of seating? Probably. You know, could they have done some more standing room only people in the building? Probably. Was it still a well-attended show? Absolutely.
So would you agree with that? And maybe with a little bit more experience, Jay, have you ever seen them turn people away? Or is it kind of, we can get you in no matter what at the show?
I think in Nova's defense, they are still a fairly new promotion and they're still running. I think it's very smart of them to do this. They're still running in spaces where they know that they can bring a lot of people in, but they know that they won't necessarily fill the space. They haven't gotten to the point where they're thinking, oh no, we've maxed out the capacity of this venue and we're going to have to start looking for venues that are a lot bigger, because that can become really stressful because the prices go way up. You know, the bigger the venue, the more seats you have to sell, and sometimes the higher the ticket prices have to become in order for them to make their money back. So I think in the event of something like the Fairfax JCC, it would totally be plausible for them to put more chairs in that space than they do. It, you know, it wouldn't exceed like whatever the fire code is for the size of the room, but they're also pulling pretty good numbers in that space anyway. So I think they've picked really good venues to start with, knowing that they're going to get X number of people who definitely come back from month to month, but they still have room to grow inside of the space. And they do pretty well, I would say, between their pre-show and what they sell at the door. And I don't think it's ever been a matter of like, we've sold out online and we have to turn people away at the door because, like I said, they could always make more room. But I think some people also just don't make up their minds as much. Because you have to, the other thing too, which we haven't really talked about, is the regional aspect of this. NovaPro's pretty much the only game in town for a while, right? Like the closest venue that's doing anything close to what they're doing is probably the MCW Arena, which is in Joppa, Maryland, and over an hour from here. And because of that, I think, and because of the fact that there hasn't been wrestling in this area in a long time before NovaPro came around, people are only sort of getting used to the idea of having regular independent wrestling in their backyard. And so it's almost like we've had to sort of wake everybody up from this nap they've been taking and say, come out and see the show. And so as that number starts to grow of people who sort of take ownership and become like a family as part of NovaPro, the number of people who I think will be coming to the shows grows. But because I would say that for a year's worth of shows I've been going to, there are definitely people who have also been to every show I've been to. I see the same faces over and over again, but I always see lots of new faces every time too. And then those people become regular faces. So yeah. Did that answer your question? I feel like I got off track.
It answered my question and more than I could have hoped for. So thank you.
Well, one other thing I would add, because I do think this might be relevant, especially if somebody's listening to this and thinking about going to a Nova show, and they should, is that Front Row, or at least I think for the last three shows, has sold out online beforehand. So if it's a Front Row, usually does go before the doors. But beyond Front Row, you may be able to pick something up at the door.
And do they just do Front Row GA? Do they do a tiered system like some places do?
Just Front Row and GA.
Okay.
And to be fair, I would never have remembered to say that, Dylan, because you know I hate to sit in the front row, so it would never have occurred to me to mention that. So good that you brought it up.
Yeah, it's important. And do they have, because some indies do support or kind of want to push for, I think it's almost for the walk-up regulars, because sometimes there's people who've been coming for years and they just don't like the idea of buying online. Do they cut off sales online, or if theoretically, if they could, would they sell it online?
I think the day of the show, you can't buy tickets online. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure you can't buy tickets online like after 24 hours before the show.
Okay. But so up until that point, I guess they'd have to get to that point to make that decision. But it's just an interesting thing to think about, especially, again, there's a lot of political stuff when it comes to wrestling shows. I'm dealing with PWG out here regularly. And then also we have PCW now, who does a tiered system where, I mean, they sell front row, second row, third. They sell separate seats all the way up to the fourth row. And then from there they go into GA and standing room and all that. So, I mean, there's a lot of different systems. And personally, I like the idea of supporting the local regular who maybe doesn't decide until the day of the show, or maybe doesn't want to use a credit card online. So I kind of like that idea. You mentioned, you know, the regulars and the people that you see at every show. The line culture itself, does it have a familial aspect to it? Do you feel like people waiting in line, they get to know each other and even become friends, or you know, in that regard, are they talking, hanging out, playing games, stuff like that before the shows? I guess Dylan, because you got there. Well, I don't know. I don't know if either of you actually sit in the line.
I would say yes, in my experience, to a degree. One thing that I think is interesting about Nova is that there are a lot of regulars there, but I would say, in a sense, it's already a sort of moderate destination indie. Okay, like it's now. Look, it's not AAW. Or PWG, or a place like that, right? And I don't want to present it that way because that's not accurate or fair to really any of those companies. But Like, the first show I went to, which was on Black Friday, the area I sat in the venue that day was filled with people who traveled from out of town. Now, I'm not saying that it was hundreds and hundreds of people, but there was probably maybe a dozen people just in that area that had all traveled to the show and traveled more than an hour, you know, like not, you know, like something that is an actual trip. And there were other people scattered about the building who I think probably did the same thing. So you have this sort of situation where it's not a show that is so regional. I mean, it's regional, like Jay said. I mean, even the name Northern Virginia, that's what NOVA stands for. But it's not so regional that it's in a bubble. Like where you know, in Georgia, for example, a lot of the indie shows in Georgia, even if the card is really dynamite, people aren't going to travel. Like, you might get one or two people that travel to the show. NOVA's kind of interesting in that it's already sort of a moderate destination indie. And I think the way that the sort of regular fans sort of interact with the people who travel in is pretty harmonious. I don't think that it's not like there's this weird sort of these are interlopers and bad people, because I don't think the environment at the shows is really filled with people who are trying to present themselves as being above where they are, if that makes sense. And my experience is that everybody at the shows pretty much talks, chats, gets along, maybe jokes with other people in the building who are cheering for people different to them. And I would say that, you know, the line culture or the sort of milling about culture in intermission, which I think is actually even more telling than the line culture is pretty friendly. And I think the Snack Society does their sort of thing at intermission where they shoot, you know, their videos and stuff where they have wrestlers and sometimes fans and other people do their thing. And I think that sort of attracts attention, which is a sort of novel thing that you'll see at NOVA that you won't see at other shows. So I actually think the fan culture there is really good.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Clotheslines and Headlines, Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows plus others available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's blog, of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Subscribe on iTunes or on Android with your favorite podcast app. Established in 2013, the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network is committed to providing unique takes on the rich and diverse medium of professional wrestling. focusing on its history and global impact, but also exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. The roll call includes Space City, an NWA on-demand podcast, This Week in Wrestling, Stacey Elliott's Bogus Journey, the Super Apuestas podcast, the Military Industrial Suplex, Strong Style History, Puro Puri, and Psychology is Dead. Also, from the archives, the full catalog of great shows that provided a fresh look at classic wrestling, including Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, Letters from Kayfabe, Wrestling Culture, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Goodwill Wrestling, and many, many others. Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Only the best.
Jay, would you agree with that? How do you feel the fan culture? Is it friendly, inviting, all, you know, everything Dylan says there?
Yeah, I think that it is. I mean, from my perspective, during, it's a little different at the Annandale venue because we do the pre-show from in the space, whereas at the JCC, we do the pre-show from the lobby. So I'm actually like in the middle of all these people hanging out, and most of them are actually really cool. I don't think I've ever had a problem with fans or anything like that while we're doing the pre-show. And it's actually become like a thing where I start to feel like I'm on a talk show because I do interview some of the talent on the pre-show. And so I'm talking to them and people are watching because they're interested in what the wrestler's saying and what have you. But I think we have gotten to a point now where people have started to take ownership of certain things. Certain performers have become like the fan favorites, you know, in our community. Some of them are hometown heroes because they come from this area. And we're starting to hear some of the same chants and cheers over and over again. And sometimes people get, once they start to feel like this is mine, they start to get a little overconfident, and that can become obnoxious to a point because they're like, this is my chant and I'm going to get this chant over. So help me God. And it's just like, dude, you need to calm down a little bit. So we're getting some of that right now where the fans are, I think, trying to overassert themselves. But I think it's going to level out as the size of the crowd grows a little bit, because once those people are one of 500 instead of one of 300, you know, it'll just sort of, everything will come to balance. But I think we're having some growing pains right now as far as the fans are concerned.
Okay. And so I kind of want to dig into the pre-show that you do. So did you say it streams live on YouTube?
It does, in fact. Yes.
And but the shows itself don't actually stream live anywhere, do they?
No, they don't. So when we started doing the pre-show, it was partial. Okay, when we started doing the pre-show, we were actually doing it under the Facelock Feministas banner. We weren't even doing it under the Nova Pro banner. And it was me going to the boy and saying, hey, I want more interview experience. I'm going to do this thing. And him going, okay. So that was great and very generous of him to, you know, offer up his talent. And, you know, I go in there pretty much with no plan other than I know what's announced. Like I said, I go in as a fan, so they don't tell me anything, and I certainly do not want to know because that makes me crazy. There is nothing that I hate more than spoilers. So I just go in, and whoever is available, you know, whoever got to the venue early and is ready and is willing to talk to me for a little while is who we talk to. I personally try to prioritize talking to the women because I feel like they probably don't get asked as many questions as the male performers do. But I'm willing to talk to anybody, whether it's a wrestler or it's a manager or whoever. And we've done some really interesting interviews with people about different things, not just the matches, but also like, how did you get into wrestling? You know, what is it about wrestling that you love? What is it about this venue or this promotion that you love? And people get kind of candid sometimes, which is really awesome. Yeah.
And are these available? So let's say I'm going back and I'm watching it on VOD and I want to watch the pre-show before I watch the VOD. Are they still available on YouTube?
Yeah. So all of the ones that existed up until October, I want to say, are available on the Facelock Feministas YouTube channel, and they're labeled. And then all of the ones for October, November, February, and March are on the Nova Pro YouTube channel. And the other thing that we have now discovered is that some people have told me that they actually stream it in their car on the way to the show, which is very cool.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask when exactly are you doing it? Because I was going to assume, are you doing it up until the moment of bell time, or is it actually earlier in the day?
It's usually, so in theory, it's up until they open the doors. That's usually when we have to stop broadcasting. Because by that point, the wrestlers really need to be in the locker room. But sometimes we have to stop a little bit before then. But yeah, so it's usually if the doors open at 7:30, it's usually we're looking at somewhere between 6 and 7 or 6:30 and 7:30, somewhere in that sort of like hour and a half period.
Okay. And do you think this is a weird thing to ask someone about their own thing that they do, but do you think it adds something to watching before the shows? Like, do you think it's a worthwhile endeavor for someone to go out of their way to watch it before they watch the actual Nova Pro show itself? Or is it something that stands alone?
I think it's both. And we have been trying to figure out how to get back into the groove of it. I think the one that we're going to do at the next show is going to be more in line with what my whole vision for it was. Again, being at the Annandale venue means I'm in the space, which can be problematic because that's where everybody else is, like all of the performers and all that kind of stuff. So it creates a different dynamic. But being at the JCC space, being in the lobby, means I'm just running through the card, asking the wrestler or whoever questions. And then when it's time to, you know, cut the whole thing off, we cut it off and we move on. But at the same time, at the JCC, I feel like we're working at a time where everybody knows what they're going to be doing. And so people can come in and it is connected directly to the show, whereas sometimes I feel like at the Annandale one, it's just me and Kevin Ford, who does commentary, talking about, you know, what's coming on the show and less about like doing interviews and stuff like that. So I would say yes, it is connected to the storyline of the show. It just hasn't been lately because I think the venue doesn't lend itself to that.
Okay. And that's actually, I mean, it's not part of the live experience, but I just mentioned that Kevin Ford is a phenomenal commentator. I've been a big fan of his podcast for a while, and I think he brings certain elements that he does in his podcast, his personality and his affinity for wrestling to the commentary that makes it really enjoyable. So that's just something I'll throw out there for anybody who happens to have not watched, but I don't think you hear him at the live shows. They don't do that thing, do they?
God, no.
Yeah, thank you. That's literally one of the worst things I've ever experienced, is the indie that plays the commentary over the loudspeakers. Well, we're kind of winding down, so I was going to say, Dylan, can you break down what you enjoy about the booking of Nova Pro compared to any other indies, and I'll give you 3.5 minutes. No, I'm kidding. But like in
I was going to say, that's too long. Please, yeah. Don't.
I was going to say, Dylan could probably do the hour on just that, but like a bite-sized thing, Dylan, what makes Nova Pro stand out? Because I know it's not... I wouldn't say it's like your most pet indie, but it was an indie that you were pushing pretty hard for a while there. And what is it about Nova that makes you want to push for it so much?
Well, I actually, honestly, I would say that it kind of is in some ways one of my handful or three or four pet indies, because the thing about Nova Pro is, and I kind of touched on this in like my opening monologue, is that it's really a place where that's sort of a meeting ground between guys from the Northeast corridor and people from like the Carolinas and obviously people from Virginia itself. So it's sort of like if there is a sort of regional conflict between Southern Indies and Northeast Indies, I look at Nova Pro as the demilitarized zone of that conflict, where everybody sort of comes together and you get the best of both worlds. So you get to see people like Chet Sterling and Eric Royal, who are extremely prominent players in Nova Pro, and you could even argue maybe the two most significant players in some respects. And then you also get Logan Easton LaRue, who's the local heel, or Sanjay Dutt, who's like the bigger name, who's also, you know, local to Virginia. But you also get the people that'll come down from CZW for some shows, and you get people like Dijak, who's been a pretty regular presence there on and off. So But what I would say the most interesting dynamic is, at a lot, like nowadays, like at indie, a lot of indies, particularly indies that have a larger profile, are sort of treated as relevant. You don't see the local or the like committed self-made stars in the center of the promotion. Like, you know, it tends to be people who are already big names. They were big names when they got there. They're big names there, period. That's how it goes. And then people, and then the locals sort of, if they want to get bigger, they almost have to leave and then come back so they can be booked as the top star in their home promotion. It's sort of, you know, ass backwards, but that's kind of what has happened in a lot of places. And I would say that the three promotions that have best sort of defied that over the last couple of years are CWF, Freelance, and Nova. And I think Nova Pro especially does a good job with that, because they have a – they've been able to make somebody like an Eric Royal become the ace and biggest star there. So when he's in the ring with other major names in independent wrestling, major names, the biggest names in a lot of ways that you could possibly get, there's a feeling that Eric Royal is still the guy. He's still a guy who you believe should, could, and will compete with him at that level – and hopefully even come out on top, because he's very rootable as well. Same thing with Chet Sterling. Nova does not have championships. The championship that they use is the Ultra J title, which is the, I think, PWI branded, you know, belt that sort of is operates out of the Mid-Atlantic primarily, out of CWF and also Nova. Chet Sterling, you believe that he should be in the ring with somebody, you know, that has name value, or if they put his match on and it's the last match on the show, even if there's other names on the show that come before him, you know that belt matters. You know Chet matters. Chet has been a relevant player from day one. To me, that is the big difference between Nova Pro and a lot of other independent promotions, even good independent promotions that I really like. They've managed to create stars by putting them with other big name talents, by treating their title seriously, and by letting those guys shine in those roles, as opposed to going, well, yeah, we're going to put you in the mid card, or we'll have you open the show, but if you really want to do anything and be a guy that we really push or treat relevant, you're going to have to go travel around the country and make your name somewhere else. No, they don't do that there. And to me, that is a huge testament to Nova Pro, because so few shows do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you in a lot of ways there. I mean, I guess I'll just have to accept that you look over the myriad of European indies who've done a good job of building their own stars, but that's just classic Dylan.
Oh, no. I put over WXW Strong.
I know, I heard you.
Just yesterday.
I know, I heard you. I was just kind of messing around. But, Jay, I know that you're actually paying attention to the European indies, unlike Dylan. So you were talking somewhat about Nova, and I just think, do you think in some ways it does compare to Progress with their mix of locals and imports and the way that they push kind of their guys first?
You know, it is so funny that you brought that up, because we just recorded the next episode of the Facelock Feministas, where we had Callum Leslie, who is one of the commentators for Progress, on the show. And we got into a humongous argument about Mark Haskins. And basically what it boiled down to was that Courtney and I are watching shows that are over a year old, and some things don't exist inside of a vacuum and some things do. And it's hard to feel certain ways about things when it's not your hometown hero, you know? But I do feel like Nova Pro understands how to create the perfect marriage between elevating the guys that are local to the area and bringing in enough talent from the outside to bring in what we might call a more casual fan, or someone whose experience with independent wrestling is limited to things that they can watch through an on-demand service like Flow Slam or whatever. And so having people like Donovan Dijak on is great, but having Donovan Dijak come in and wrestle someone like Eric Royal is important, because those are the moments where you're going to come out of it and know, oh man, I got to see that awesome Dijak match, but I also now feel more connected to this person who's going to be here at the next show, whereas Dijak might not be. And so I just think that that's really brilliant booking. And also they never, I feel like they don't do throwaway things. Like sometimes they do matches that are considered like a special attraction match, and that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But most of the time they weave the storylines that they have going on from month to month through even those special attraction matches. And for someone who's really, really into storylines, that's important. So yeah, I think there is sort of a connection between them and some of the stuff that's going on in Europe in terms of like the continuity and rewarding loyal fans by paying off storylines long term. I mean, they have storylines going on now in Nova Pro that have been going on for over a year, and that's pretty amazing. Because there are plenty of promotions out there that are like, well, I'm just going to do this one thing that leads from April to May, and then in June we move on to something else. But that's not what Nova Pro does. They want you to keep coming back, and they will reward you for being loyal to them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I see as well from, you know, the amount of it that I have watched. The booking of Eric Royal, I think, is the main standout of Nova. So I guess we're pretty much wrapping up here. Jay, you already kind of gave us the breakdown earlier, so I'll just kind of throw it to Dylan finally and say, you have to tell me about the bathrooms.
Oh, the bathrooms are good in both facilities.
Okay.
I would say that both the facilities I've been to, look, I can't speak for the women's restroom, but the men's restroom in the JCC in Fairfax is palatial. And the men's restroom at the Annandale Fire Department is actually really nice too. They would be top shelf. I would like upper 5% of pro wrestling or independent pro wrestling. Actually really all pro wrestling bathroom venues. Now that I think about it, because most of the big shows the WWE would run, those bathrooms are all horrific. Mm-hmm. It would be top 5% ever. Nice. I would say.
I mean, your perception is slightly skewed with your history of punk rock shows, but I will accept it. And as I said, Jay, you already hit us, but if you wanted a last word on the bathrooms, feel free.
There are plants in the ladies' room at the JCC in Fairfax. Plants in really, really nice planters. So, you know.
That's it. Well, okay. Thank you guys so much. Again, anybody who's listening to this, if you can make it there, try to make it there. And if you can't make it to Nova Pro, check out your own local indie, because I bet they may not be exactly the same, but I bet they got something interesting going on there as well. Before we go, Dylan, is there anything else you want to plug or anything at all that you want to plug?
Follow me on Twitter at Dylan Waco, DylanWaco. Check out the Pro Wrestling Ponderings newscast every week. Usually gets recorded on Tuesday, which means it's either up really, really late Tuesday or on Wednesdays. And follow SCI Tournament at SCI Tournament. We're doing announcements of talent for this year's Scenic City Invitational, which is August 4th and 5th at East Hamilton High School in the greater Chattanooga area. Every Monday night. So we will be slow rolling out talent. We've already announced 5 people for the event. Matt Riddle, Tank, returning champion Gunnar Miller, Torque, and Kurt Stallion. And we're going to keep doing that until we are basically ready to sell tickets, which will be May 26th is the drop date for those. So everybody check that out, SCI Tournament at SCI Tournament on Twitter.
Yeah, and if somehow you're listening to this and you're not familiar with the SCI, it is a happening. I mean, the amount of people that showed up to the last one that are kind of luminaries on the wrestling like social media center is just ridiculous. I'll be seeing if I can make it this year. If not this year, next year for sure. And Lady J, anything you need to plug before we go?
Watch how I single-handedly take a podcast that is about the fan experience, tie it to SEI and Nova Pro all at once. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
I'm ready.
I run a fan initiative charity called the PW Girl Gang. The PW Girl Gang is all about providing tickets, group tickets, for any fan who feels uncomfortable or unsafe attending an independent wrestling promotion by themselves. We just had our very first ever event at Smash Wrestling in Toronto, and it was awesome. And actually, we are also going to be involved in SCI, and we're going to be bringing a whole bunch of people down with us to that event. You can check us out on Twitter at PW Girl with three R's and no I gang. And we're also PW Girl Gang, spelled the same way, .wordpress.com is our website. And you can find out all the promotions we're involved with and how to get shirts and all that good stuff. But also, anytime you come to a Nova Pro shirt, or Nova Pro show, I'm wearing two shirts, one of two shirts. I don't wear two shirts at once. That's weird. I'm either wearing my PW Girl Gang shirt or I'm wearing my Papa Hale shirt. So if you see a tall girl with really awesome bangs and eyebrows in glasses in a PW Girl Gang shirt or a Papa Hale shirt, that's me. So, yeah. And you can also check me out on Twitter at TheLadyJSays.
PW Girl Gang's fantastic. I was checking it all out. And I don't even think you know this, serendipitous, because it hasn't even come out when we're recording this, but my last episode of this show was about Smash Wrestling. So that's kind of even more kind of a tie-in there. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you at the wrestling.
Special people change. How many lives are living strange? Where were you while we were getting high? Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide. In a champagne supernova in the sky. Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide. In a champagne supernova, a champagne supernova in the sky. Up the dawn and ask her why. A dream, she never dies. Wipe that tear away now from your eye. Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? Someday you will find me. Special people change. How many lives are living strange?